Good morning. I'm going to bring you the two passages, and they're extraordinary passages. So if you'd like to grab your pew Bible, the first one is Isaiah 35, verse 1 to 10 on page 720. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Praise God. Okay, so the second passage from the New Testament is on page 988, and that's Matthew 20, verses 29 to 34. Two blind men receive sight. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him.
Surely this is a real question. What if I'm not good enough? It's a real question in our work life, is it not? Will we be able to do the task, the project that we've been asked to do? Will I be good enough to get a promotion? Those of us who are parents, will I be a good enough parent? Will I get it right enough of the time? When you face a challenge in life, like a really challenging, difficult sickness, and you need courage, you need strength, will I be good enough? And in your relationships with other people, indeed in your relationship with God, will you be good enough to maintain the relationship? Will they want to stay with you and be committed to you? Perhaps learning another language, how challenging that is. Will I be good enough to get there in the end? Last week on Good Friday, we asked the question, what has God ever done for me? And we saw that Jesus chose to die and that God gave his Son for our forgiveness. On Easter Sunday, we asked, is there any hope for me? And we saw that he is risen. He's defeated death. But is this all really for me? Am I good enough to receive it? We need to see this morning. We need to see Jesus, and we need to see ourselves. Firstly, seeing Jesus, God's compassionate King who wants to serve us. We're on page 988, verse 29. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Do you see the crowds? It wasn't unusual for crowds to be going up to Jerusalem. It's the main city where God's temple is. They are going up to the temple for the sacrifices, especially at Passover time, the main Jewish religious festival. And this is no ordinary Passover. Jesus is going up, and Jesus, the crowd believes, is God's King. They are the ones, when he enters Jerusalem, who are about to sing and cry out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But there are two men who are not going up. No, they are not going anywhere. They do not see Jesus. They do not see anything. They are blind, sitting by the road, begging. Does the crowd see them, do you think? Probably not. They are somebody else's problem. They don't see them until they hear them, I think. Verse 30. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them, told them to be quiet. Do you remember the disciples saw people bringing little children to Jesus, unimportant little children, and they rebuked them? The crowd hear the blind men shouting, the unimportant blind men. They are ruining the moment as Jesus goes up to Jerusalem. They heard them, they saw them, and they rebuked them. Do you see the crowd? And do you see Jesus at this moment? Jesus is also going up to Jerusalem for the religious festival, but not just for the religious festival. He has just told his disciples that he is going up because he must be delivered. He must be condemned, he must be mocked, he must be crucified and then rise from the dead. If ever there was a man on a mission, if ever there was a man with a lot on his mind, at this moment it is Jesus. And do you see what Jesus did when he heard the blind men? Did he rebuke them? Did he ignore them? No, verse 32. Jesus stopped. The shortest verse in the Bible is just two words, Jesus wept. When he saw people weeping, grieving at the death of his friend Lazarus, he wept. These two words, I think, are just as important. When Jesus heard the blind men crying out, though he was heading to his own death in Jerusalem, Jesus stopped. There are so many strong leaders in our world who know where they are going, they have no time for, they even abuse little people, vulnerable people, and we are often so impressed by them. We want a leader who knows where they are going that we're prepared to overlook how they treat little people. Though we do admire it when they stop. Some years ago, the president of Turkey was about to cross the most important bridge in Turkey, in Istanbul, the Bosporus Bridge. And there was a man there considering committing suicide. He'd stopped his car on the bridge, got out, and the police had been trying for 2 whole hours to persuade him to come back. Somehow the president, President Erdogan, had heard of it. And as his motorcade was going across the bridge, he told the motorcade to stop. The president stopped to help the man. Though the president did stay in his car, and his men brought the man. He stayed in his car, and if you look closely at the next photo, he stayed on his iPhone as well, talking to someone important. And I can't help thinking that it was really just a photo opportunity that he forgot to put the phone down for. Jesus stopped and gave these 2 unimportant men his full attention. Why did he do that? He's just said in the very verses before, verse 26, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." To Jesus, greatness is all about serving. He is great, and so he wants to serve. And so even though he is going to give his life as a ransom for many, that is where he is going to, he stops. If we love leaders who do stop for unimportant people, we must love Jesus at this point. Do you see Jesus? And do you see the crowds and see yourself in the crowds? Like them, we can be focused on our own religious experience and ritual, can we not? Whether we are leaders or not, we can be focused on being on our way to do something. We are going somewhere important, our heads are full. We have a task to do and we have no time or energy for someone in need. But whoever wants to become great must be a servant. And Jesus demonstrates what that means in one particular way. When you are going somewhere, it can be right to stop. Whether you're on the street or at the shops, at school or at work, at church, or in your own home. Do you see Jesus? He is God's compassionate King who stopped to serve, and his people must have the same compassion. But how can I be part of his people? How would I be good enough for him? What if I am not compassionate like him and do not stop to help? Point 2, seeing ourselves, humble beggars who cry out for mercy. Over the last few weeks, we've seen Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. And we've seen many people come asking things of Jesus. Do you remember the Pharisees? They asked Jesus, "Is it lawful to divorce your wife?" They wanted to trap him. The rich man came and asked, "What must I do to get eternal life?" James and John asked a favor, because they wanted to become great. Many people today will come and ask something of Jesus to test him. Are you really true? Did you really say these things? Will my life really be better if I come to you? Many people today will come to Jesus and say, "What can I do to contribute and earn your favor?" or they will come to Jesus and ask, "Will you do me a favour?" Right back at the beginning of our section, chapter 18, the disciples ask the question, "Who is the greatest?" And Jesus threw it upside down. "Unless you become like little children, you will not even enter the kingdom." Here we come to the end of the section. Jesus is about to actually enter Jerusalem, and at the end of the journey, who receives from Jesus? Is it a Pharisee? A rich man? The crowd who follow? His disciples even? No. Two blind beggars. They haven't come to test him or to do anything or to ask a favour. They're not swept up in the crowd's enthusiasm. Despite their blindness, they see Jesus. You see what they say, verse 31? "Lord, Son of David, God's King, have mercy on us." They see that he is God's compassionate King who can help them. And they see themselves that they are desperate and helpless. And so in helpless desperation, they shout, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And you see how Jesus responds, what he asks them. To James and John, who asked for a favour, he says, "What is it you want?" And so exposes their hearts. To the blind beggars, he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" When John F. Kennedy was being inaugurated as the US president, he said these famous words, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." They are noble and inspiring words. They reject a sense of entitlement or self-interest, but they are also flattering, aren't they? They make you feel good because you can do something for your country. The disciples wanted to do something. They wanted to become great and sit on thrones for Jesus. The blind men do not ask what they can do for God's kingdom. They can't do anything. They know they are beggars, and they come like a little child, like a blind beggar, simply asking for mercy. We need to see Jesus, and we need to see ourselves. Jesus is going to Jerusalem to be delivered, mocked, and crucified. Why? To give his life as a ransom for many. As a ransom for many, because we need ransoming. We may not be physically blind, but if we need ransoming, clearly we are enslaved. We are stuck, enslaved to sin and death, and there is nothing we can do to set ourselves free. Spiritually, we are all helpless, desperate, and dependent. We ask the question, "What if I am not good enough?" The answer is, you are not. And I am not. And so it is not what you can do for Jesus. It's what Jesus can do for you. We simply cry out, "Have mercy on me." Perhaps you need to do that for the first time this morning. Perhaps you need to change your whole attitude to Jesus so that you cry to him for mercy. Finally, can you see how good this is? Can you see how good it is that Jesus is God's compassionate King who wants to serve us, and that we are blind beggars who cry for mercy? Can you see how good it is for you and for me? In every other area of life, we have to prove ourselves and hide when we don't measure up. And so even when we hear on Good Friday what God has done for us, even though we know the hope that God has won for us on Easter Sunday, we still have a real question. What if I am not good enough to receive it? But when you see Jesus, that he's God's compassionate king who wants to serve us, you know you don't need to be good enough now. It's just a matter of crying out for mercy. Can you see how good that is? And can you see how good it is, not just for you personally, but for us as a church family? We are always comparing ourselves to other people, even at church, aren't we? But you see, whether you've been here a long time or you've just arrived, whether you have Christian family or your parents had barely heard of Jesus, whether you're making progress in godliness or you're really struggling, if we are all beggars crying out, "Have mercy on us," how can you compare yourself with someone else? How could you think that you're better? How could you think that they are better? The church is the true classless society. Can you see how good that is? Finally, can you see how good this is as we try to share Jesus with people who don't yet know him? On Easter Sunday, we saw that the women, they were so afraid that they said nothing to anyone about Jesus being risen from the dead. And we said that hope must be spoken. But what if I am not good enough at doing that? And wouldn't it be arrogant to tell someone else they need to believe in Jesus anyway? Well, imagine if there'd been another blind beggar on the road that day. And these two blind beggars had cried out for mercy and had been given their sight by Jesus. Do you think they would have gone and told the other beggar? Do you think they would have thought to themselves, we better get good at that first? Maybe we're not good enough at telling yet? No. Do you think they would have felt arrogant to do so? No. Someone said once, evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. Can you see how good that is for us? It is a real question. What if I'm not good enough? But when you see that Jesus is God's compassionate King and you see yourself as a blind beggar, it is no longer a real question, is it? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know our hearts and your word speaks to our hearts, showing us Jesus, your compassionate King, and showing us ourselves that we are just beggars who need mercy. Help us then to see clearly and to come to Jesus. We ask it in his name.